You know, in Japanese, when you say good morning, do you know how to say it? It's Ohayou gozaimasu. So Travis will say, how are your pajamas? But this is a new greeting. You need to greet one another. No coronavirus. What do you think? I want to ask you, have you heard about an anchor called Brian William? I used to watch his news, his nightly news before I go to bed, like every day. And then one day, I was told, I think he was interviewed, that he lied, and he fabricated news. I don't know whether you're aware of it. And then he was no longer the anchor for the nightly news. So when I heard that, I shake my head. I thought, wow, I can't believe that happened. And then when you hear on the news, the government, there is the Republican, there's the Democrat, their goal is to shoot down one another. What do? I shake my head. I thought, what's going on? And then recently, with the coronavirus, you already know that, it's quite big right now. And one of the doctors, his name is Li Wenliang, and he tried to alert people just a few weeks ahead of the outbreak is uncontrollable, and the government just squashed it down and shut off his group. And it's about 3-4 weeks window, and that's why we're at right now. And when I heard that, I shake my head. You should shake your head. I wonder, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned, what did God do? I don't know whether he shook his head or not. I have no idea. And so we have to ask him face to face one day. But I know he has a solution. God has a solution in mind, and that's why we're going through our topic today. We want to follow God's plan, and part of that, I believe this passage, we're going to look at John 15, 11 to 1 to 11, and Matthew 11, 28 to 30, is a key to discipleship. It's a key to see God's plan of salvation take place in our midst. And so I would like you to think about the key, not so much like a key. I don't even have a key. And so it's just kind of like open the door. It's like a combination lock. So you have to kind of dial one way, dial the other way, and dial the other way. You've done that before, right? Maybe you use a newer combination lock. You just kind of like, Alexa, open the door. Well, I don't know what you use, but those are the combination lock. I would like you to think about it. And so it's a few factor to come into that key. So before we go, maybe we can just bow our head and commit the time to the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you know the beginning from the end. Thank you, Lord, when Adam and Eve sinned. It was not a surprise to you. In fact, you are not going to just bring them back to the original state, and you're going to give them much more through what we are going through, what your plans unfolding. Lord, we know that you are a God full of goodness. Help us to believe you. Help us to track with what you want us to hear. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak deeply to our soul, and we will be obedient children to follow your will, follow you closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's see. How do I point over here? Yeah, well. Okay, so you know that the college student is going to do a dial a donut. I think John is going to announce a little bit more. So this is the dial. So you're in a combination lock. So you dial to point number one, okay? This is kind of like for my combination is 12. That's the first number. All right. So in here in John 15, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, and it might bear more fruit. And so this is a good picture because this is a hand of somebody and dashing into the vine and trying to do something with the vine and the branches and the fruit there. And so the first thing we need to know is that discipleship, sometimes we think of different way, but the one of the key concepts here is it is a relationship. Jesus is saying that he's painting us a picture. He said, I am the vine. So who are you? You're the branches. And then the Father is involved in doing something in that relationship. So we are entering into a relationship. In fact, Jesus used this I am 7 times in the book of John. And this is the last I am he used. So he used 7 I am. So I'm going to walk you through it. It would be fair for us to look at it. So I am, you know that the great I am means God, right? Because he expressed himself to Moses. He said, I am send you. So we understand when he's using words like this, it's really important. So he's trying to tell us what is behind us to build this relationship. So number one, the first I am is I am the bread of life. That kind of means it's the source of our nutrition, our life. And we need that. We need bread. So in Chinese translation would be, I am the rice of your life. In Qing Yu translation would be, I'm the steak dinner of your life. Whoa, it's very important. So this is important stuff. And then the second I am is, I'm the light of the world. That means there's no way for us to see clearly unless Jesus come into this world. We see things are very, very, very confused in many ways. When you're in your class, when you're in your work, when people are communicating you, when you listen to Brian Williams, it's very confusing. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I will make it clear. And I am the door of the sheep. So what he's saying is that there is safety, there's security going in and out of that door. He's the door. He's the way to have security. He's the way to go to green pasture. And I am the resurrection and the life. And that is amazing. Resurrection means he died and he lived again. I don't know whether you have ever felt like dying. Have you ever felt like, I wish I died? When I was in my master's degree, I make hot dog for a living. That's my research project. So I make hot dog, one batch, second batch, third batch. I remember one day, I was so tired making all those hot dogs. And I just took a break, and I went to the cafeteria, and I saw a Christian coming to me, and I wanted to run away, because I did not want to talk to my Christian friends. They're going to ask, how are you doing? I said, terrible. And so he actually grabbed me, and I said, oh, things are not going good. And he said, Cheng Yu, it's okay to not feel good, because there are Psalms in the Bible. It did not end, I trust in you. I think one of them is like Psalm 88, it's very easy to remember. And it just kind of end with some sadness there. But Jesus said, even if you die, I can raise you up. One of the verses I is very dear to me is Psalm 73. It said, my heart and my flesh might fail, but you're the strength of my heart. It's like, my flesh can fail. I'm so tired. I couldn't do anything. Have you ever felt that way? You're so tired. And my heart fail means like I have no desire. I don't want to do this. But what the psalmist is saying that I am the strength of your heart. I can resurrect you. So Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I can make you alive in whatever circumstances you're in. And I'm the good shepherd. We all understand that. You know, he leads us through the shadow of valley of death, which fear no evil. That's what Jesus is doing. He said, I'm going to walk with you. My staff will come for you. You will feel me. And when you lost a love relationship, when you are sick, that's when you need that staff come for you. And I'm the way and the truth and the life. And we use that. This is the only way for us to go to God. There's no other ways. And then the last one is a very different one, because it said almost like he linked you and I together. So I am the vine, and you are the branch. Oh, did I go one too far? And so, let's go back. How do I go back? Whoa, okay. So we're still staying in, we are in a relationship. So what Jesus did is that he is saying that I invite you to be in that relationship. This is what discipleship is all about. It's to connecting with God. So when you and I is making disciples, we are inviting people to come into relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And you and I need to know this. When God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, when they exist eternally. So there's no beginning, there's no end, and they're always there. So in the book of John, it said in the beginning was the Word was with God, right? The Word was God. So what we're saying is that they have this relationship, like face-to-face to one another. They are very happy with one another. Someone said, God created us because he's lonely. He's not lonely. He has God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit. In fact, it's a 3-1 God, triune God. And they're so happy with one another, they want to invite us into that relationship. And that's why God created us. That's why God wants you to go and make disciples. That's why God wants you to follow, because that is the most beautiful relationship. And something similar to that in our human race is the marriage. He said the husband and the wife were two worlds shall become one, right? And it's supposed to be reflecting the image of God. And obviously, we've sinned, we've blew it. But it's not a surprise to God. God said, okay, I can fix it. I can bring you to a better place. So, dial number one, the key. Remember my number? What is it? 12. Good man. All right. So, you dial, and it's that we are invited. We are in a relationship with God. That's discipleship. This way. And second is also very important. And in here, in John 15:3, just two verses down, so already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And what's the best way to kind of do this? What he's saying is that God is saying to us that we don't need to do anything. First of all, he doesn't need us to do anything because God is eternally exists. They're very happy with one another. He's inviting us into the relationship. And second, is that because the word that I spoke to you, what Jesus said is that because of what I have done, you are already clean. I think that's a lot of freedom. And you might have heard other preacher was saying that it's very important for us to know our identity in Christ. We are a child of God, and what he's saying is that you are already clean, and I have you and I are in Christ, and we are acceptable in his eyes. I struggle with it. I know you do. Do you struggle? And you say, I don't know whether I'm clean or not, right? I do. Mr. Clean doesn't struggle. He's okay. He's always pretty clean. But I do. And so I struggle with it, and I feel like in my Hong Kong Chinese training, I need to perform. If I don't perform, then I will not be acceptable, and I cannot be in the in or something. You know, I don't know what it is, but I just feel like I need to keep making progress in my life. And so I need to slow down and think about what the Word has to say about this. So one of my favorite verses that I use a lot for myself, I hope that you can also use it, is Ecclesiastes 9:7. It says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with merry heart. So it's okay to eat a good meal. So for God has already approved what you do. And to me, it's very important to know that God has already approved of me. That means, to me, the meaning is, if I exist in this world, if I do not, God did not strike me dead, God said, I have already approved of you. And you don't need to earn my approval. And you're already clean. Now you can go invite other people into this relationship. So dial number two. Actually, my second number is, I'm not going to tell you. So let's go to the third one. And this is actually probably the most important of the whole passage. And dial number three is discipleship is to abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is what we have gone through. Jesus is saying that I am inviting you into a relationship. In fact, inviting might not even be a good word. You are in a relationship with me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you're the branches, I'm the vine, and the Father is working in us. And then second, you are already acceptable. You don't need to do anything, you don't need to prove yourself. I accept you. Wherever you feel like you're at, you are clean because of the blood of Christ. And then third, what Jesus is saying, those are the key, the combination. You just need to live in it. You just need to continue to be in it. So you need to keep thinking, I'm in this relationship. Keep thinking, I'm already being accepted, and I'm already clean. And now just keep tracking with the Lord. And he gave us at least three components to it. All right? So we're going to look at some. So we talk about abiding in Christ. This really is the key of the passage. How do we abide in Christ? Live in him and remain in him and track with him. And so number one is to do with bear fruit. And so whoever abides in me, I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So what he's trying to say is that when we abide in Christ, we should see a good result. We should see a result. That result is bearing fruit. So let me try this, okay? So I said, wow, bearing fruit is very important. I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to try my best to bear fruit. Try my best, okay? So what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? Something's wrong. What? Well, the sticker is definitely really wrong. So besides that, what's wrong with this? Huh? I'm trying too hard. Well, you can try. It's easier. And anything else? I'm trying too hard. It is it's not for me, that's for sure. Yeah. So the key concept is this. This is the wrong fruit. Because abiding in him would bear grape, right? This is apple. So you and I need to sit back and think about, you know, I'm just not going to force myself to bear fruit the way that I wanted it. And it's the way that God wanted it. I think that is a key concept. And then, you know, you cannot just cheat it by buying something from the supermarket and bring it out and say, hey, yeah, look at my fruit. That is not what it is all about. It really, Christ is trying to say is that we need to connect with him on a constant basis. And when we are connecting with him, we will influence. We will see people come to know Christ. We will be able to be a blessing to people. And so we must work in a way that is continue that relationship, continue that position we have in Christ. Okay, and so second, I think this is maybe a how to bear fruit. So when Jesus is talking about abiding in me, he's talking about the effect of it and also how we can abide in him. And so that's what it says in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. I kind of see it, this is a multiple component here, but when Jesus said that abide in me, it really is saying that my word, he's the word of God, and there's the written word of the Bible, and he said that the written word is in you, the living word is in you. He said, my word abide in you. So we will be reminded about the truth. We will be reminded about what God wants us to do, and both the written word and also prompting of the Holy Spirit. So there's certain thing is very clear as believer, and God wants us to do. And so let me give you one example. You're all young people, is that right? Who's not young people? Nobody. And so I know that you're all young people, and it's a big challenge is to honor your parents. And there's the Ten Commandments, right? In the middle, right in the middle. And Paul said this is a commandment with a promise. So if you honor your parents, you will have a long life. You have a good life. And so for us to say that I'm going to let your word abide in me, part of the translation in my Chinese mind is I need to honor my parents. Honor them with words, honor them with deeds, honor them with finances. And that's what I did. So I don't know what God is impressing to your heart. That's very obvious. Something is very obvious. It's not something you need to kind of go really far, dig really deep to understand. Something so obvious. We just need to look at the word and try to say, okay, I'm going to obey it. Another very obvious one, a bit is hard, is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Right? You and I are always in need. We need more money. We need more something else. I don't know what else you need. But what God has promised us is if we put him first, he's going to meet our need. So that takes a little bit of faith because you don't have something. And you say, I'm going to meet that need. But God said, no, you're going to put me first. Let me meet your need. So it's full of example in the Bible. Like the Elijah? And going to the widow. He said, you make me a cake and then you'll be all right. So the widow kind of like, well, that's all I have. I make you a cake, I have nothing. But that's God's way. God wants us to take that step of faith. The written words already clear, written to you. But in different circumstances, the application might be different. Now, there's also the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord wants to lead us with his written word. And he will not stay away from it. But there's often God would use those words and to make it alive in our life, to our life direction. So most recently, example, at the end of the year, I went with the college student to the retreat in YMCA. And in fact, John Meyer gave me a call and said, Cheng Yu, we have some people from China. You need to go meet them. I said, okay, I will go. But I was very glad that I went. And so I went to be with them, and I always enjoy hanging out with you guys. And so I was there, and there was given a day that we just kind of reflect on our fear, on our idols, and try to deal with it. So I was thinking to myself, I have two fear in my life. More than that, but two is very obvious. One fear is I fear to be blamed. I don't want people to blame me. So I do everything really hard, work harder, so that people cannot blame me. And second, I fear not making progress. So if I touch myself, my hands touch on something, I want to see it to make progress. So if it doesn't make progress, it bothers me. And so I feel like doing that retreat, I encourage you to do retreat from time to time, to go to conference from time to time. And in fact, in the Old Testament, God has asked his people to get together 3 times a year for conferences. And also there's Sabbath, and you need to spend some time with the Lord. So there's a frequency that is quite high. And so when I was doing the retreat, I felt like almost like God's prompting and saying to me, what if I want you to be blamed? What if I do not want you to make progress the way that you want it? And I kind of thought, that would be bad. What do you think? I think this would be bad. But then, over time, I just keep reading the word, you know, let the word speak to me. And I felt like, I think it's more important to take myself out of the picture, because I want something. I want not to be blamed, right? And I want to make progress. So who wants this? Ching Yi Wang. Does God want it? Not necessary. Maybe. So what I need to do is to take that away. Is the whole idea of following Jesus is to deny ourselves and follow him. And so I remember reading one day in my quiet time, and I read the Old Testament and New Testament portion of it. And that particular day, I read about Moses. So Moses was blamed by all the fellow people. And then I also read about Joseph. Joseph was blamed and put in jail. He didn't do anything wrong, but you know, he was accused, falsely accused. And then I also read about Jesus. He was stand before a Pilate, and then he was accused, and he needed to die, and because he was guilty, he was found guilty by his religious leader. And I was thinking about, wow, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I think it's really hard to avoid being blamed. So I was in the wrong track. Because when I live my life for the Lord, and it is okay to be blamed. And because all these people who follow the Lord, follow God, was blamed. And so, for me, that is very important for me to hear the Lord's saying to me. All right, let's go to the next one. Abide in my love and keep my commandments. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. This thing I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be full. And I think this is kind of a third factor of abiding, and is repeating a little bit what it says, you know, let my word abide in you. So it's saying that what I command you, you do it. But it's to do with love. And it is hard for me to fully embrace it because, you know, it's pretty black and white to me. Love is love and command is command. How do you mix the two? But it is important to God. And God has said, you can do this. And there's an effect to it. It's to do with joy. And so as we follow his command, let God's word in our life. And so that means to me, it means like every day I need to read God's word. I have God's word in my heart. I need to meditate. I need to obey God's word. And when I'm doing it, then the natural result is I would be able to see fruit. And I would be able to see joy in my life. And true story. When I was engaged to Susan, so now we've been married for 30 some years. I'm 32 or 3, I can't remember. And so when I was engaged to her, and she was going to work in Hong Kong. She came from Canada. She was going to work in Hong Kong. And so I said to my parents, I said, can she stay with you, with my parents? And I would move out and stay with a brother and form a household. And so they said, okay. And then the 2-3 days before she arrived, my dad pulled me aside and said, Ching Yi, I want to let you know, Susan can stay with us, but she has to be home before 8 p.m. And I thought, wow, you just destroy her fellowship life. Because nobody would have any fellowship with any people in any meeting if she has to be home by 8 p.m., right? You couldn't be here. Can you be here? Not by home by 8 p.m., you cannot be here. And so I was really sad when I heard that news. Actually, I cried. I kind of said, God, what's going on here? You know, like, she's coming over, but now she would have no friends and no fellowship. And I remember thinking about Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, sorry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And let your, with thanksgiving and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of Christ will ruin your heart. And so I was thinking about that verse, and I was thinking about it, and I said, God, I don't know what to do. You have to do something. So the next day, I was in the subway. So I met a friend that bumped into a friend in the subway. So there's like 5 million people. You just met her, a friend from my school, from Canada. And she said, hey, Chingy, how are you? I heard that Susan is coming. And I said, yeah, but she has no place to stay. And because my father, you know, said this. And she said, oh, she can stay with us. So I kind of thought, wow, this is amazing. That gave me joy because it was so amazing. God has done this. And then she stayed with her for a period of time and settled in Hong Kong. Now we're married for 30 years. And so looking back, and what Jesus is inviting us, he said, now you have a relationship with me. You are accepted. Keep tracking with me. Do what I say. You will bear fruit. You will have joy. You must have my word in your life. Lastly, I want to share one last verse with you. It's a similar concept here. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it says, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you feel heavy laden? Do you feel burdened? And if you do, then this applies to you. And we do that all the time. We feel anxious. We feel like don't know what to do. Like when Susan could not have fellowship with people, I feel burdened. I feel heavy laden. And it said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I think what we do is we say, God, I want this fruit here. I want apple. But God said, no, I am the vine, no apple, only grape. And you said, what? But it said, you need to let me yoke with you, and your burden would be light, and it would be easy, right? That's what God invited us to do. In a relationship, we know that we accept it, we can bear fruit, but the kind of fruit that God wants us to bear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the author and perfecter of faith. Think about how you were burdened and talking to disciples that you're going to walk to the cross. And that must be really hard. But Lord, you are willing to do this. And you said to the Father, this is not my will, but your will. Lord, help us to do the same. We are so wrapped up with our will, and we don't even know it. Lord, free us up so that we can say to you, Lord, not our will, but your will. Lord, we pray for everyone as we go home today. We'll let your word abide in us. We'll do what is obvious, and we'll listen to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.